turn in your Bibles, please, to all the sluggards here tonight. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Yeah. One of the big differences between us and what we were before salvation is the Holy Spirit. And we read about that here when the earth in Genesis 1 verse 2 was without form, without and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all working, relating to each other. They are one God, but then different administrations or functions. God, we say God planned and has divine purpose, and he sent the Son to manifest himself to us, and that was Christ. And then Christ left and sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. In a similar way here, when the earth was at a state of darkness, confusion, emptiness, the Spirit of God came and moved. He did some work, and there it is. And in our lives, the same thing has happened. And we read that here in Acts chapter 2. So it's Pentecost today, the holiday, the Christian holiday, Pentecost. And this is when the Spirit manifested himself so strongly by filling the believer, 120 people gathered in the upper room, and filling them and taking over their tongue. And they preached in different languages. And they could not be stopped. And Peter stood up, chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he preached in Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God moved so greatly on the audience that 3,000 people became believers in that day. They gladly received his word, verse 41, were baptized, and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then later, Peter preached in a Gentile's house in Acts 10, verse 44. Cornelius's house. And while Peter spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them who heard the word. That's another manifestation of God that happens. I read in one of Spurgeon's messages, he's relating to the United States of America. He said there has been a great awakening. 250,000 persons. This is about 18. I don't know the date, actually, but his ministry is 1860, 70, 80. There was a great awakening. 250,000 persons. That is a quarter of a million profess to have been regenerated and have united themselves with different sections of God's church. And that which makes me believe the work to be genuine is just this, that the enemies of Christ's holy gospel are exceedingly wroth at it. When the devil roars at anything, you may rest assured there is some good in it. The devil is not like some dogs we know of. He never barks unless there's something to bark at. He's talking about the press and the states and the opposition to the revival. But it's genuine because there's so much barking going on against it. And there is prayer meetings. He says here, prayer meetings were better attended than before. And there has been real prayer. Sinners beyond all count have risen up in the prayer meeting. And he explains the work of God. I like to hear that and think about it. Okay, this morning we said from Philippians 4, turn with me there, please. It's a great time this weekend, the graduation yesterday, and then this morning, and the subject of anxiety. And we said that anxiety is a result of our design. We are designed to guard the garden in Genesis 2, verse 15. When Adam was put in the garden to guard it and take care of it and feel the responsibility. You know, we feel the need to guard the garden. And we said that that's life for us, like we are wanting to guard and protect the things we love, the things that are important to us, like our children, our families, maybe our job or responsibility or whatever the Lord has given to us to care for, be a sentinel. But because we don't have the Holy Spirit, then we do this in the flesh. And even when we have the Holy Spirit, we grieve Him by our anxieties and fears. We live in unbelief easily. I'm troubled. I'm worried. I don't know what to do. I feel the pressure. And I was thinking about how people need to take a chill pill and fast from worry and anxiety and fears. They feed on it. They talk about it. They worry about all kinds of things. But then they are believers. And why do I let myself be inundated with things and troubles? I remember I was in Pennsylvania many years ago driving my little car, and the car in front of me hit a deer, and he lost control, and then I'm trying to avoid him, and I hit that car, and it bends the front wheels of my car, and I end up driving home like this, you know, limping on the way home from Pennsylvania. And later I got a letter that the man was suing me for $250,000, and I didn't know about the way things work, you know. Like, I don't know, like, really, my car was messed up, your car was, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know how it happened, called my insurance company or something, and, like, this is your problem, not my problem. This is your problem. I have insurance. Like, that's your business. That's not my business. Not to worry about things. And the whole thing disappeared. It was just like a formality or procedure. The man I hit was a lawyer, actually, I think. And so, like, what do we expect, you know? What's he doing? So, what do you worry about? What are you and I afraid of? And what kind of faith do we have? And what spirit are we of? The Holy Spirit has been sent into our life. What spirit am I of? Where do I put my mind and my heart? What's important? Setting our affection on the things above, not on the things below. If I worry, I will bring that worry into my family. And I'll teach my children to worry instead of rejoice. If I'm troubled, I bring that to my friends. Pastor Roger said, consider the ant. And I would say that the thing about the ant, like for us, I think is more mental than it is physical. You might be very busy physically, but consider how focused and how determined, how singular, you study them maybe in the patio or something, watch a long line of ants, and how they may bump into each other. They go two ways. How do they do it? How do they do it? I don't know. But I like to take from that lesson my mental decisions. Because one thing the Holy Spirit does when he moves on the waters and he's doing his work, and when he moves in the church, is that he gets a hold of your mental powers. And that's maybe the point of our message tonight. He gets a hold of our mind. The Holy Spirit does a work on our mind, and the Holy Spirit does not worry. He does not worry. The Holy Spirit is not worried. He is not worried. He's not stressed out. The Holy Spirit is not afraid. That we are, but the Holy Spirit is not afraid. And he's not worried. That's clear. That when Jesus said, I will send another, he's like me. I will send the Comforter. He will come into your life and affect your mind. That's Romans 12, verse 2, Colossians 3, verse 1. And you're able to set your mind on the things that you can't see. That's context. I can't see the invisible, but he's there. God is in your bedroom. God is in your life. God is in your car. God is in your heart. God, the Holy Spirit, has been sent into our life. And sometimes I feel that we make too little of the Holy Spirit in our life. Sometimes I feel the Pentecostals are actively preaching all the time about the Holy Spirit. And I would like to emphasize that also, that it's the Holy Spirit that has made a big difference in our hearts. Holy Spirit is the one that fills us and governs our hearts, and so we don't worry. We don't worry like we used to. We don't worry. We don't have the anxiety. We guard, but in peace. We care for our children, but in peace and spiritual conviction. And we teach them little by little. It goes down little by little. Like, I use that illustration about the Hungarians having goose liver. They have a whole industry of goose liver. And one thing they do is they take a goose and they force feed it, and the liver enlarges. And they stroke the neck of the goose so that it'll eat more. And that's what I want to do to you guys. I want you to eat more. I want your liver to expand. I want your spiritual mind and heart to be enlarged so that you will believe that what God has said is the way to live, and that it takes a diet, and you just can't, like, every once in a while hit the subject of God and go live your own way. And every once in a while, I prayed to God and all that. And I'm happy about that. I'm thankful for that, but you understand what I mean. Let's close. Turn to Philippians 4 with me. And he says here, remembering he is in house arrest, Remember, has a lot he could be worried about, and he's not worried. He's rejoicing a lot. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Wait a minute, I thought you were in house arrest. I am, but I'm having a great time. I am. I'm learning. I'm learning to be abased. I'm learning to abound. Okay, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. In brief, that's a great word, Greek word, but in brief it means don't be so tense. Don't be so legalistic. Don't be so tense about right and wrong. Enjoy your life. You know, the house got messed up. Yeah, it shouldn't have happened. Something that happened, you're stressed out. You're so intense in life. Like, just cool it. Your kids are having a hard time. Just enjoy the ride. Have the Holy Spirit moving in your family. Love them. Be patient with them. Give them a break. Give them a chill pill. You take a chill pill. Don't be so on their case. Like, let them grow up and learn that life is a good time. Life is a good time. Dad's having a good time. Mom's having a good time. We're making cookies and we spilled the milk and we ran out of butter and all the, you know, we don't have this and that. And yeah, well, we can work it out. We can deal with it. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. God is with us. So verse 6, be careful for nothing. That's the word for anxiety. Anxiety for what? Nothing. What are you worried about? Forget it. Just have a good time. Now, I think, and I'll finish maybe now. I'm not sure I'm trying to, but I like the text. I mean, no need to, but just saying. I read that rabbis, Jewish synagogues, when there's a marriage problem, they send a comedian over to the family. The husband and wife, and the guy that's a funny guy will have dinner with them and sit and just talk, and they'll have a good time. Great idea. Great idea. There's too much stress. It's too intense. You're on each other's case. You're not forgiving enough. You're not helping each other enjoy. Like, tell a story, have a joke, hug. You know, forgive, rejoice a lot, have a good time. Come on. What is it saying here? Why? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit is like this. He is the Spirit of grace. He is the Spirit of freedom, of joy, of forgiveness. We have been forgiven of our sins. We have been forgiven and brought into the family. Now, I'm not saying there's an automatic formula, but I am trying to bring something out here in the text. Look at it, verse 6. It says, don't have any anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay. I've met so many thankful people. I've seen so much thankfulness in many different places in the world. I've been amazed at how people are thankful for what they have. The abundance of everything. The blessing of life itself. The blessing of a friend. The blessing of answered prayer. The blessing of God coming into our life and saving us. The blessing of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of faith and connecting with God by faith in our mind and in our heart. We are blessed people. Let's be sure to trust God to change us and help us have the focus that we need to live in a very troubled world. You know, learn to turn off the stuff that's not good. Don't read the books about murder and adultery and all that stuff. Don't read things that are not edifying. Don't watch movies that are horrible and poisonous to your soul. Stay like a child. Did you see them on the stage? The little guy down the box back here. You see the Pasha's son next to him on the. Did you see the little kids?
Yes, beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's great. Aren't they good? Okay, so the kingdom of God is like these children. Martin Luther said when he read that, he goes, do we really have to be such idiots to enter the kingdom of God? That's what he said. Not a good word, I think. They're not idiots. They're precious. They're carefree. They're fun-loving. And they got a lot of energy. And they need our guidance. And they need the guidance that comes from us being spirit-filled. Us loving our church. Us loving God. Loving truth. Us being gracious to each other. Not arguing with each other and fighting with each other in front of our children. But just loving and edifying. And we can have a private talk in the back room. But we are nurturing them in the Lord, and they're learning what it is to live in a healthy, happy place where there's hope and trust and faith. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Closing. Lord, thank you for this night, the high school seniors graduating, for the teachers that made this happen, the leaders, and then for each life here, that your spirit would move. Also in our country, there is no salvation without the Holy Spirit doing the work. There's no conversion without the Spirit saving a soul, without Christ saving them and sending the Spirit into their life. This must happen by your Spirit. Every century, every generation, that's how it works. And it's no different today. To reach people in need, it takes the Holy Spirit's work. Our prayers, please, God, do deep works in the lives of people as we live by faith in you. And then anyone listening, you haven't yet come to Christ, come tonight. Come to Christ tonight. Put your trust in him personally, and he will save you right now, immediately. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day he comes into your heart and saves you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, who were those wonderful ladies? Hey, ushers, great job. Let's clap for them. Woo! That's great. Okay, we want to invite some of the seniors to come up to this table. We have a table right here. We got water, free water. We have a discussion to have. Are you guys ready for this? It's going to break open. Oh, great. All right, come on up here. It's like a family talk. All right, cool Bible. I wish there was dinner. Maybe afterward. Maybe we can get one of those gift cards for the cafe. All right. So the verse that we want to talk about is Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. But maybe I can read some of the verses a little bit before and a little bit afterward to give it some context, Pastor Schaller. That was a message for the graduation. All right, so Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Deliver yourself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." What's a fowler? Bird catcher. They don't have that job anymore. Then we have the verse that we're going to talk about. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Isn't that a great word? Like, there's so many words that the new words for the young people these days. Like, I know a couple of them. So, like, that's mid. Is that right? All right, that's mid. That means it's like average. And that's sus. Okay, but we need to go back to the... We need to start calling people sluggards. Hey, sluggard. Sluggard. I was behind a sluggard on the way to church today. I got late because there was a sluggard that was driving really slow. And I didn't want to pass him like a lot of other people do in Baltimore. But I just wanted to yell out, "Sluggard!" But I don't want to get shot. So... anyway, this "go to the ant." I should have gone to the ant. "Which having no guide or overseer or ruler, the ant provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard?" There's that word again. So good. "When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall your poverty come as one that travails, as thy want as an armed man." I love the King James. It just has all these awesome words in it. But you guys are seniors. I know my daughter's in, it was also graduating with you. And I just saw the, you know, what you had to do to graduate, all the work that you had to do. So do you feel like this verse kind of encapsulates what it took for you guys to graduate? Like, did you have to make a decision and say, like, okay, I gotta look at the ant. I gotta figure this out. So who wants to go first? Okay.
Yeah, I think that this verse definitely, like, you can't, to being able to, like, graduating, you couldn't have gone, I know, throughout the year, you could definitely have sluggard moments, but in like to finish off the year, you weren't able to be like that. You actually had to put in the work and like actually like break it down and figure stuff out. And able like to graduate, you weren't able to just let it go and just be like, "Oh, I got this." You had to actually do the be like the ant, not the sluggard.
I'll do it now. Like, let me get it done. Awesome. That's good. Let's clap. That's amazing. That's a good word. We can use that anytime. What do you think, Micah? Because you also, you really had to go through a lot and get a lot done. And you did it, dude. That was amazing. I just heard the stories.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get caught behind on anything in high school. Get behind one day, it's going to just get worse and worse, pile on you. Had a couple nights where... Yeah,
I'm laughing at that too.
Mr. Shish had to keep me with him on Wednesday nights sometimes, so you get work done.
Where's Mr. Shish?
Yeah, where is he?
We love Mr. Shish. He's awesome. He helped you get it done. Keep going, sorry.
Yeah, just you can't just decide to be like, "Oh, I can do this later. I'll just chill out now." That goes for work and anything else in life, really. Especially like that can happen with church too. You can say, "I'm just going to relax this Sunday. I won't go." And that could start becoming a habit.
That's awesome. That's a great connection. Great, great, great. How about you, Brianna? Your turn.
Yeah, I like verse 9. "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?" Sometimes that is me. Like
sluggard moment.
My couch. I feel like it's really easy to get like stuck in your comfort zone, especially like this senior year I saw it. but then how faithful God was, like, get me up, like, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think this word is like good in a time of like stuck in a comfort zone or kind of a stagnant time in your life. Because it's really, really easy to fall into one of those. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. And what you said that's so good is that God is the one that wakes you up. Like, you're not, sometimes we, the world tells us to be self-motivated. We gotta, you know, pull ourselves up. But really, behind us is the Lord who says, come on. Like he did to Adam and Eve. He said, where are you? He knew where they were, right? He knows everything. But he said, where are you? Because he was kind of drawing them. And I love that. That's a great point. The thing that I thought of, it says in verse 7, after it says, go to the ant, it says, these ants have no guide or overseer or ruler. And I thought that's a lot like the church. Like, of course, we have leaders and we have pastors, but really, we are all co-laboring together with the Lord. And we're like ants, that our ruler is God. You know, God is the one that created the ant, and God's the one that gives the ant the wisdom that it has, and they really just get from God. And as many of you are going into the next phase of your life, you're going to have some decisions that now you're making as adults, and you're going to, you don't have, maybe you'll be in a place where it's just you and God, and you'll just have to look to God and say, God, like, what do I do? God, direct me, and he'll direct you. And that's amazing. Maybe we can talk about this too. Another verse in Proverbs that talks about the ant is Proverbs 30, verse 25. And it says, the ant are a people not strong, but they prepare their meat in the summer. And, it, you know, I don't, maybe boys did this, but had a magnifying glass and with burning ants with the ray of the sun. If you want to just, you know, confess your sins to the body, just raise your hand. If that was you, oh man, some people already. You know, did anybody ever eat ants? Chocolate cover? I ate them. They're nice. You know, they're salty. We eat a lot of stuff in Africa that, you know, we don't. Termites, you fry them, and they're like peanuts. They're really good. you want to try them? Okay. But, you know, if you ever seen MacGyver, does anybody know who MacGyver is? Whoa, wow, he had a mullet, right? Mullet short in the business in the front, party in the back. That was MacGyver. And the one episode that's the most frightening episode is when he had to deal with killer ants that overtook this whole farm. And if you saw that one, good luck trying to sleep after watching that. But the ants, the point is that the ants were all together. They were like a body. And they, if you just have one ant, he gets burned with a magnifying glass. But if you have a whole huge football field of ants, you're running the other direction, right? And that's what we also have. Like, we have God directing us, and then we also have the church behind us. We're a whole bunch of ants, and we're working together. And maybe we're little in ourselves, but all of us together, we can lift a whole hamburger out of a picnic, like in Tom and Jerry, right? They lifted a whole steak and ding, 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 if you saw that episode. A lot of 80s resets today. But, yeah, so we can look at the hard work of the ant. We can look at the ant's wisdom. But we can also see the ant as a group, and they're with a big body of other ants. And that's like us, too. Any thoughts about that? Like, I mean, maybe you can talk about your class. And it was awesome to see, like, the trip that you guys did to the beach. We won't give the details about it, but you came together as a class, and that was really awesome. Isn't that, like, a picture of that, too?
Yeah, so we all had our own idea, like, oh, we should go to the beach together. And it was kind of each individually, but then we got together, and we're like, okay, why don't we just plan a trip? So we all went, and we did go to the beach on a specific day. Might have been during school, but
You guys are graduating now. None of this matters anymore, right? There's no lunch attentions that can be given out anymore.
But it is like in the class by ourselves, you can get stuck on, like during school gets hard and some people understand certain materials and others don't. So by yourself, school can really, it can overtake you sometimes, but as a whole, you can work together and rely on others to help you where you get stuck and then you can help another. So I think it definitely works as a class. You work together just like the ants work together.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. Any other stories like that of how maybe you bonded with your classmates or something, like a story that happened, maybe not in school but in youth group or something like that, that could have happened? I don't want to put you on the spot. I know like you had your two friends that came from Pennsylvania, and what did they say about you that when they saw you kind of in your element with your class? Something like they've never seen you more happy or something like that.
Yeah, my mom was talking to them, and she said that one of them was like, he seems so much happier in this environment. Like he's a part of something. He's a part of a team. So, yeah.
That's great, man. I love it. I love it. And, I mean, even for us, the way that you guys welcomed my daughter into your class, and I know some of those pictures, you guys were together in fourth grade, and you guys were together, gosh, I don't know, in the mother's room, right? And but then for us to come back after being gone for so long and to kind of have her welcomed in to your class, and that was really special for me to see that happen. And, I mean, when I saw you guys graduating yesterday, it was yesterday, wow, it was a long party, yeah, right? I also walked on this stage and graduated too. And I know Pastor Barry, maybe not here, and Coach Lynch, but they also graduated from the school. And it's the same love. The things that we're learning from the pulpit, the things that we hear being preached to us are getting lived out in the school. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing. And it's a blessing to see the word of God being lived out. And that's one way not to be a sluggard. It's like believing God and saying, okay, I'm going to really treat this person as my friend. I'm not going to say something behind their back unless it's positive. And you know what? The same way that you guys bonded as a class and you take that out to wherever you go, if it's college or Bible college or different places, people will want to be around you. People will say they have a different spirit. You know, they have a spirit that's, like Pastor Schauer said today, not someone that's always worrying about something, but someone that's carefree because they're trusting in the Lord. And that's a great benefit. So, wow, thank you. That was insightful. Even though we didn't have a meal, we had a meal, like a spiritual meal. Amen.
Well done.